We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
With the second pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Aiden Hutchinson, defensive end, Michigan.
Jared Goff winds up.
Touchdown, Detroit! Josh Reynolds!
Here comes the blitz. Down the middle and on the fly. Jameson Williams, extra speed on the gas and gone. Touchdown.
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 267 on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always, Mr. Malcolm Hart, Pierre. Boys, it's Victory Monday once again. What is this? What is this feeling? I don't know what this feeling is. How are you feeling?
Bro, this is one of the best feelings in the world as a Lions fan. The last time I believe they had a 3-win streak, was it 2016 or 2017?
2017.
It's been freaking 5 years, man. It feels good. And winning games that you're supposed to win, it feels good. And like seeing that you're actually in the hunt and a game and a half out of the wild card spot.
Playoffs?
Yeah, I'm talking about the playoffs. It just like ever going into Thanksgiving, man, I believe Greg Olsen said it on the broadcast yesterday. The Lions normally going into Thanksgiving don't think they have a chance. Now we have a chance, and everyone's like bought back in. A lot of people, a lot of fans were off, including you, Tyler.
Yeah,
I was kind of on the fence, but I wasn't completely off yet. Now I think we're all back on. So it's nice to see that they're improving, they're getting healthier, and you know, yeah, Malcolm.
Let's go, man. Let's go. Woo, man. Yo, you on a win streak? That's three games in a row. Hey, I'm not. I don't like to say I told these guys so, but man, I did say this is gonna happen, man. I said that we're gonna win some games, man. I said we're gonna string some games together. Tyler, I told you you're gonna see the TV one day, and it's gonna say in the hunt.
That's all I wanted. I've never been so happy. I have wanted to see that graphic on Thanksgiving so motherfucking bad. Just show me that we're in the hunt.
I didn't say that we're going to get in. I said, yo, I don't know if we're 100% going to get in.
I just want the graphic. I don't even care for it.
I guarantee you, you're going to see in the hunt, and you're going to see Detroit Lions. And guess what you saw? In the hunt, Detroit Lions. That means we're in there, man. Yo, I'm excited because I actually have faith in these guys, and I kind of knew that they were going to be able to pull this off and have this type of, you know, pull these strings of games together. And look at us, man. This is awesome, man. And the greatest feeling in the world is that we're getting healthier, man. We're getting healthier. Guys are coming back. I don't know what to say, man. I'm just so happy right now, man.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's exciting.
This is the first. We're gonna do a game preview next episode. This is gonna be the Giants game. But the last time I felt good or like excited for a Thanksgiving game was 2017. Like, I haven't been invested, like, truly into a Thanksgiving game since 2017. And
who was that? What game was that?
We lost. We lost to Minnesota for the Nevin Lawson block field goal that ended up being offsides that game.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, the last
five or four Thanksgiving games, they've just been brutal. So to talk about a good things or talk about a meaningful Thanksgiving game, which we're going to do more next episode, it's just exciting. All right, let's talk about the Giants and what happened this game. First, let's talk about the injuries that were sustained in this game. Peter, you got the injury report that happened in the game?
Yeah, but before that, we do have some breaking news. So Jameson Williams was cleared to practice on Monday. Probably won't play this week, but I think he probably has a shot against Jacksonville because you have that like long, I call it a mini bye week. You have that mini bye week, and then next week, like you should be fine. Romeo Okwara is another guy. He potentially could be back this week, but I think maybe next week is more realistic. Okay. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, some injuries. Obviously, Jeff Okuda is in concussion protocol. I don't know if he actually suffered a concussion or if it's a Tua rule, but he's going to be out. Just the way the rules work, I mean, he can't play. Oof. Then you got, yeah, he's out. And then you got Evan Brown. He injured his ankle. He didn't come back. If I had to guess, I think he'd be out. And I think the rest of the guys, we'll see how Charles Harris, all the guys that didn't play on Sunday look later in the week. But I think those two guys right now, if I had to guess, they'll be out. And we'll see more regarding the injury report.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So there's some injuries there, and obviously a big one there with Jeff.
Quick question, man. I mean, this is a very short week, so when are we going to see our last injury report? On Wednesday? So we got 2 days to see what's going on?
Yeah, we'll see it Wednesday, yeah.
Wednesday will be like the Friday injury report pretty much.
Yeah, they'll have the game designations and everything, yep.
Wow, this is quick, man. Are they going to have any real practices? Or is it all going to be walkthroughs?
I don't think
they're probably going to take it very light, I would assume. I mean, it's a short week. You're traveling back to Detroit. I would assume anything too crazy for Buffalo, like preparing for Buffalo as far as practicing.
I think Buffalo's obviously going to do the same thing as well. It's hard to practice. Like, basically today they have to condition their bodies like it's a Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Today's a Wednesday. And then Tuesday's a Thursday and Friday. And then you skip a day and then Thursday is Sunday. It's so hard to condition your body to do that. And that's how they have to do it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because Buffalo is in Detroit right now. So I wonder where they're
even. They are not.
Oh, they went back home. They
flew back to Buffalo.
Oh, okay. I was actually wondering, like, where are they going to practice? Because, I mean, Detroit's obviously not going to offer their facility. Are they going to practice at, like, a Wayne State, like a random college? Or, like, where are they going to practice? So Michigan's offering their facility. We have a big game versus OSU this week, so we're not offering our facility. So, okay, they're back home. That makes more sense. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's the injury report. That's something to monitor going into the game Thursday versus Buffalo. We'll see with that in our next episode. All right. Now let's get into this game. First, the New York football Giants, even though they play in New Jersey, but they're called New York, which I don't know. We're actually playing a New York team this week, so there's that. Malcolm, you're from New York, so I don't know if that's to piss you off that they call them the New York Giants when they're not from New York.
Yeah, it's weird, man. It's weird. Yeah, the only real team in New York is Buffalo.
Yeah.
And they play upstate. They play upstate New York, way, way up there, so it's a little different.
Yep.
You're playing Jersey.
All right. Let me talk about Dan Campbell here. Let's get into him, dude, because this is a guy that I have been very, very, very critical on the last couple weeks or just overall in the season. And, you know, after the last two games versus the Packers and Bears, he was turning a corner with getting some wins, some big division wins. And people are, you know, okay, do we have something here with Dan? Is he really turning the corner here? Picks up his first road victory in Chicago. And I think a lot of fans were on the same boat as me where they had that slight caution. Like, let's see how real this really is. Is this just a fluke over these last two games? Did you just get maybe lucky these last two games? And I think Dan Campbell, for the time being, put that to rest with this game versus the Giants. I think this was the most complete game that the Detroit Lions have played under Dan Campbell's wing. And you really couldn't ask for a better football game. Picked up a big road victory in New York. And a team that was 7-2 before, they were playing some good football. And Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions went into New Jersey, not New York, and played smash mouth football and got the job done. They got a convincing victory versus a team that was rolling. And that's a big credit to the head coach for getting those guys ready. And that's a big credit to all the coordinators that had those guys ready and had a good game plan versus the Giants. So, you know, for a guy I've been very cautious about, a guy I've been very critical about with Dan Campbell, you know, I understand why fans are slowly but surely buying in, and I'm finding myself to be in that boat as well, where I'm not fully in yet, but am I getting convinced? Am I liking where the pathway this team is going? Absolutely. This is what I expected this team to be coming into the year, and it looks like they're turning a corner. This looks legit, and I'm excited. So how are you guys feeling about our head coach right now, Dan Campbell?
You know how I feel about it. I've told you guys, like, I feel like he's still our guy, and it looks like he's learned from his little mistakes or whatever you want to call them. Like, he's getting more experience. He's getting more confident in being a coach, because you got to remember, this is still, like, he's still kind of learning on the job, right? Like, it's still his second year, and the team is really, really young, and you're going to get mistakes. You're going to get a lot of mistakes when you have the youngest team in the NFL, right? And I also do want to bring up one thing with Dan. Last year, when he fired Anthony Lynn, the offense vastly improved. This year, he fired Aubrey Pleasant. And, man, it looks like the defense is playing better ever since he got fired. Now, I don't know if there's a direct correlation to that or not, but it seems like there is. The DBs are playing better. They're getting more turnovers since AP was fired. A lot of people were saying he's a scapegoat, but it looks like it was the right decision right now, honestly. So I'm confident in Dan. I think he'll continue to do this, and we'll see what happens. Malcolm, what do you think about Dan?
I mean, I never had any doubts about Dan Campbell. I always have thought highly of Dan Campbell, man. Even though that he made his mistakes, I still thought he was a really good coach, man. I thought he was the best guy for this football team. I've seen so many coaches. I've seen the good coaches, the masterminds, come into Detroit and fail. I've seen guys who were hard, just hard asses, and try to be hard asses to the team and fail. I've seen guys who, you know, was the father figure to the players, and it was like kind to everybody, and then he failed. You know, then I've seen a complete asshole, and he failed. So if Dan Campbell didn't work, man, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what type of coach will have to come into Detroit to fix this. But I think he's it. I think he has all the tools. Everything he's doing right now, the way he is to the players, the decision making that he's made recently, he's definitely the coach for the Detroit Lions. So I never really had any doubts with Dan Campbell. I was more about Aaron Glenn. That's who I was really questioning. And Aaron Glenn showed me why he's a good coordinator these past few weeks.
Yeah. So I know you guys say you're not really questioning Dan, not really. You guys weren't as critical as I was over Dan over this stretch of the season. But you guys got to admit, it's nice to actually see results instead of just thinking it or hoping that's going to ever change. Because, like, what you guys were really basing off was hope, was that they were going to turn it around. They like, we have confidence that they are going to turn it around. But let's be honest here. We didn't see it. We didn't see it on the field. So I know you guys have to feel even more confident with now actually seeing progression on the field instead of just thinking that's going to be turned around.
Not really, because I wasn't that type of person. I thought Dan Campbell was the reason why we lost those games.
I'm not telling you're not the reason why, but you got to be more optimistic now then, don't you? Because you're actually seeing progress.
The thing is with me is because I'm seeing that the defense is performing well. And the reason why the defense is performing well is because Aaron Glenn hasn't performed well. He didn't have him performing well the past weeks before. So that's been the issue for the team. I mean, if Aaron Glenn has his defense playing like this since week one, this would be a whole different narrative right now. We'll have a whole different football team. We'll be talking about something totally different right now.
Okay, you could say the same argument is if Dan Campbell makes the right call in Minnesota, or if he makes the right call in Philly.
That's one game. I'm not really worried about
that's a win or loss right there.
I get that, but how many? We have six losses.
Six losses.
Okay, so we'll be what? You put two on Dan Campbell, would have had five wins.
It could have been 6-4, which instead of 4-6, which is actually a huge difference.
I don't know about 6-4. I would say maybe 5-5. I don't know about 6-4.
5-5, 6-4. I mean, like,
whatever. I mean, like,
my point is, you're seeing progression, though.
A lot of games we would have won. A lot of games we would have won if the defense was playing well. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Not just two games that, you know, Dan Campbell calls, but who knows? I mean, the defense playing well, we probably wouldn't be in those situations where Dan Campbell had to make those final decisions.
Well, that's the NFL. I mean, that's going to happen. So I'm just happy that we're not seeing the same mistakes anymore. We're actually seeing progression. He is being more like an actual NFL coach. He's not having these gut calls where, like, oh, let's go for it. No, he's actually taking points when he's supposed to take points. And That in Chicago was big because it won you a game. You won by 1 point. Those points ended up being huge. You saw this game, he was a little more conservative, took some points. Yeah, I think he's just getting smarter. Like, I think he's learning how to be a coach. And this is something I was very critical of him. It was his game time decisions. And I've seen progression on that aspect of it since the bye week. And I'm happy about that. I'm glad that we're seeing progression there.
I think another thing to mention too is I think now they have a kicker they trust. That's something like no one's really talked about. Marvin Bagley has been good with Detroit.
Marvin Badgley,
Bagley.
You just said Marvin Bagley. That's on the Pistons.
My bad. Oh my God, Marvin Badgley. Yeah, he's been good
Michael,
for the Lions.
Michael Badgley, by the way. You got me messed up saying Marvin. Michael Badgley.
Oh my gosh. All right, my bad. Goodness. Michael Badgley has been good for the Lions. And you know, they've called his name. He's delivered. Has he missed one? I don't even know if he's missed one.
Yeah, no, he has not missed one yet.
He hasn't missed one yet. So that's a positive, man.
Yeah, kicking has been better, and I think the punting is – like, he's actually trusting his punter more. He's going to his punter more. Not that he didn't trust Jack Fox before, but, like, he's actually – his game time decisions are getting better. Like, there's more and more weeks I'm growing. It's like, okay, I see the vision. I'm not questioning what you're doing because there's been so many games in the past where I'm like, Dan, what the fuck are we doing, dude? What are we doing here? And it's costed us games. And I think since the bye week, outside of one decision, critical decision I gave him versus Green Bay, it's been pretty clean so far, so I take that as progression.
I will not be here. I think it's more than just trusting the kicker. I think it's trusting the defense. He's trusting his defense a lot more now. Now that they actually are creating stops, they're able to create plays and create turnovers. I think that's another thing that's factoring into it, of him being more able to kick the field goal to get 3 points or you know, make him get a foul start so he can have a room for punting and then punt the ball. He has faith in his defense now, so I think that's what's factoring into it, too.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the defense has played phenomenal these past few weeks, so.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about this Lions offense.
Hey, Prior Podcast listeners. It's your boy, Malcolm, here. And if you're a sports bettor like me, let me tell you about Odds Traders. Odds Traders is a place to compare all odds from all major sports books. You can also compare the different sign-up codes and promotional codes from different sportsbooks to get the best deal. This app also provides player stats, key game stats, injury reports, projected game day weather, so the bettors can make the most informed bets as possible. This app also has bet trackers so bettors can keep records of all their games and betting activity. Looking to maximize your bets? Go to oddstrader.com/bluewire. Again, that's oddstrader.com/bluewire. Odds Traders, the number one site for your game day bets.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All All right, we are back. Let's talk about this Detroit Lions offense, and I think you have to start with running back Jamal Williams here, man. He just had one of those games this Sunday versus the Giants. Three touchdowns, had an opportunity almost to get four touchdowns. I know fantasy football owners are definitely stoked if you started Jamal Williams this week. So, here, what's your thoughts on this backfield right now? You know, I think we could all be fair. DeAndre Swift has not looked the same since the injury, since coming back. And, you know, they've gone to more of this committee-based backfield with using Jamal Williams a lot in these games. He's been more the lead back. And they've been even getting Justin Jackson more involved. So looking at this backfield, what's your overall evaluation on it right now?
Yeah, I just want to get into Swift. I think Swift, mentally, he's not there right now. He's been playing hurt pretty much like, not his entire career, but a lot of the time he's been in Detroit. And I think he's kind of playing a little scared. What I mean by that is he's kind of like hesitating. He's not doing the right things. He doesn't want to get injured again, right? I think he needs to get right mentally. I still think he has it in him. Just mentally, he needs to get right. He's a great player, man. When he's on and he's good, he's a great player. Right now, he's just not. It's not it with him. Mentally, he's not there. I think the shoulder is still bothering Melito. Yesterday, again, he didn't follow Sewell to the edge. He cut it inside, and he was tagged for two. If he follows Sewell to the edge, it's probably a first down, maybe 20, 30 yards. Who knows, right? He had that yesterday. So just the little things with him. The week before, he ran into a linebacker, ran sideways at a north and south. You don't run east and west. You run north and south. He ran east and west last week. It's just the little things with him. I feel like maybe it's also the little of the rust, but I just feel like mentally he's not there right now. And then with Jamal Williams, man, I mean, what could he say about the guy? Campbell called him the team leader. He's their leader, not just on offense. He's the team leader. He brings juice to the offense. You see it. He's like a – which player can I think of? You guys remember Kyle VandenBosch on defense like way while back?
Kyle VandenBosch, yes. Who can forget
he's
those
like
eyes?
He's like Kyle VandenBosch. But of the offense, you know how VandenBosch used to be fired up and all that? Like, he wasn't the best player. He wasn't the fastest player. But, you know, like, you could trust him to get the job done, right?
Yeah.
That's how I feel like with Jamal
name.
Williams.
Kyle VandenBosch. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you guys get the comparison? Yeah. Does it make sense?
That's like a Madden 12 player right there.
Yeah. I remember we picked him up and I was excited. I was like, ooh, we got him.
Kyle VandenBosch.
Yeah.
And I was like, oof. I was like, oof.
Yeah. Jamal Williams, man. I mean, this is a guy. He has 12 touchdowns, leads the NFL in touchdowns.
NFL, yeah.
I mean, he's loved by everyone in the locker room. He's a guy you have to bring back. And I'm surprised they haven't even given a C on this patch. He needs a C patch. I don't know if they'll give it to him during the season, but he deserves one.
Yeah, they haven't switched their captains at all this year, I think, unless an injury happened, if I'm not mistaken. But they don't really switch the season around. Like, I know under Caldwell's wing, they used to switch captains every single week. But under Campbell's wing, I think they just come in with captains before the season, and I think they just stick with them throughout the year. So, I don't think that's going to switch this year by any means, unless like an injury happened. But Jamal Williams has been great, man. And I think more importantly, the offensive line has been great. And I think that was a little of a concern versus the Bears. They weren't really creating great running lanes versus the Bears, and they weren't running the ball as well as they have throughout the season. And I don't think many Lions fans were concerned at all about that. I think they just kind of looked at that game more of an anomaly more than that was going to be the trend going forward. I think we knew this offensive line was going to get right, especially in the run blocking department, just because they've been so good all year. And, you know, you just saw it in this game, man. You know, the Giants have some studs on that D-line with Dexter Lawrence, and they have Leonard Williams, and they have Kayvon Thibodeau. But the Lions did a very good job of not completely eliminating them, but they – you know, contained them and didn't let them have a big day defensively. And the Lions run game got going this Sunday. And that was a big focal part of their offense and what got going and what they got to score points. Cause you know, Goff wasn't perfect in this game by any means. So he got to lean on that running game. And the running game, you know, was great this game for sure.
You know, go ahead, Malcolm, my bad.
No, no problem, man. I was going to say that there's a guy we kind of missing out here, man. Justin Jackson, man.
Yeah, I threw him in there too. Yeah. No.
He's been huge since we picked him up, man. He's been a great addition. And especially while Swift is trying to, you know, figure things out to get back to where he is, having Justin Jackson back there, man, is a huge plus, man, because he's playing at a high level right now. Between him, Jamal Williams, he's probably been the most consistent back that Detroit had in a very long time. A guy you can really rely on, not really worry about, you know, him being injured or limiting his touches or anything like that. Jamal Williams has been the most consistent back we had in a really, really, really long time. So he's been everything that, you know, you would want from a veteran back. So that's good.
He's everything that we thought that we can get out of LeGarrette Blount, CJ Anderson, Adrian Peterson, all those veteran free agents that we brought in. Jamal Williams is the terrific prototype of what we're looking for at that running back position for a veteran.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's been a lot of bad memories.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I remember, you guys remember we were doing like the free agency show. We all like kind of like wanted him.
Yeah.
And they ended up getting him. So that was nice to see.
And it's worked.
It has worked. It's worked. Last year, I feel like he was a little not as effective, but, you know, now he's a lot more effective and he's taking more of that leadership role. So it's nice to see.
And I also do want to give a shout to Justin Jackson very quickly, like you said. I think he's done a very good job of helping Swift ease into his role because he's a kind of like a similar style back to Swift. Now, is he the same player as DeAndre Swift when he's healthy? Absolutely not. But as far as the style, you know, he gives you those runs on the edges, and that was kind of a confidence because the Giants had a tough time of stopping the run on the edges yesterday versus that Lions offense. You know, they were stuffing up the middle a little bit with Jamal Williams early on at the point of the game, but once they got those edge rushes going, those edge runs going in that game, it opened up the offense for both inside and the edges. So Jackson was a good piece for this team, and, you know, he's been really good for this team.
Yeah, they call those change of pace backs.
Yeah. You know, he's definitely a change of pace from Jamal Williams for sure.
Yeah.
And then another thing, speaking of the O-line, man, we talked about Dexter Lawrence. He's like one of the best defensive linemen this year. No one's really talking about him as much. Like, he's up there with Aaron Donald with the year he was having, right? And we did not hear his name yesterday. And shout out to the Lions O-line. They only gave up 4 pressures and no sacks and pass pro.
Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive as well.
Yeah, no, they've been good, man. That Lions offensive line has been it is what we expected. Everything we expected out of this offensive line unit. I said it's going to be a top 5 line coming into the season, and I still believe that today going into Thanksgiving. So, you know, it's been great, man.
It's great. And PFF even loves him. Like, if you go to the PFF and you look at, like, the offensive line, I think the lowest graded offensive lineman we have is, like, a 70.3.
Yeah.
So everybody else is over 70.3 on our offensive line. And that 70.3 is Evan Brown. So that just shows you that all these guys.
And that was the replacement because, you know, Evan Brown wasn't supposed to be a starter this year. It was supposed to be Big B. And then, you know, obviously he suffered the injury right before the season. And, you know, Evan Brown just stepped in and has been good. And the great thing about this Lions offense, I know every Lions fan knows this, this unit is sticking together. Like, this is not just like a 1-year thing. Like, we have this Lions offensive line for many years to come. You got Decker locked up. You got Sewell on his contract. And now, you know, he's going to get paid once he's due. You got Frank locked up. Jonah's going to get locked up. He's probably my number one priority this offseason of, like, who we're going to resign or, you know, who we're going to extend is definitely Jonah Jackson.
Sure. 100%.
And then all you have to do is really figure out that right guard situation. Now, Evan Brown's going to be a free agent. Maybe you bring him back. Maybe you fix that position in the draft, free agency. I really don't care because we have 4 main core offensive line pieces. You can go out and pick up a free agent and be fine there. It really could be. You could draft someone and be fine there. So I love that we have the main core of the units intact.
I personally draft one.
You could. You got a lot of draft picks. You got a lot of draft capital.
Because you don't want to have that. I mean, it's already an expensive O-line. That Sewell contract, I mean, it's going to be massive. Jonah contract's going to be a big contract, too. You already have Decker and Ragnow being paid. You want to have, like, a cheap contract in there.
Yeah.
You want to take a Big V on a discount?
Oh, yeah. If he's down to take a pay cut, sure. Yeah. I bring him back.
He fits the mold of the Lions offensive line. They love to run block, and that's his game.
You want to find a younger guy though, who you could, like, you know, just plug in there and have for 3-4 years, years, and extend him. Hopefully, you know, I think that's ideal situation.
I mean, I wouldn't mind what they do. Even they bring back Evan Brown and just say, hey, you know,
he's
played well. This is going to be your permanent position. I wouldn't mind that either until they find another guy, like a permanent guy.
Yeah, Evan Brown is fine, but I feel like he's more of a backup center to me than a starter. That's how I feel.
He's a perfect backup center. Could be a starting center. He could be a starting center.
Like, he could easily start for a lot of other teams. We say this on our show all the time. Surprised that no teams go after him. Maybe it's because his run block isn't as effective. Teams want to run the ball. I don't know, but
it's been okay this year.
You know, it's been whatever.
And I think for the quarterback, Jared Goff, I think it's a perfect segue, is that, you know, being able to lean on this run game, and you're seeing that you could win football games without Jared Goff having to be perfect or even necessarily good. You won two games in this three-game stretch where Jared Goff has been, frankly, one game awfully terrible versus the Packers. I mean, he did everything possible to lose that game. And then this game, you know, just he was good enough to win, didn't really do anything special, was just there. And that's good, because that was one thing that I know you guys were definitely concerned about, was saying this team can't win football games unless Jared Goff is perfect. And over this three-game stretch, they've had two games now where he hasn't been perfect, but they've been still able to pull along a win, which is
really. But why is that? That's because of the defense, right? We said, like, he has played sober because how bad the defense was. Now the defense is – I think they're kind of average now. Like, they're not really bad. They're not really good. They're kind of, like, in that middle of the league, which is what we wanted. The way I think these last 3 weeks, they have to be, like, somewhere in that average spot. Yeah. Like, 16 to 20 range, something like that. They haven't been trash.
Two great games, one bad game in Chicago, but they had a great fourth quarter when it really mattered and stepped up and made plays to win that game.
Yeah, and, like, Tyler, regarding the defense, if I told you when we were recording our show with those Giants guys, or if I just texted Malcolm and knew this, that the Lions would hold Saquon Barkley to 15 carries for 22 yards along a four and averaging 1.5 yards per carry, I think you would have called me high and stupid.
Probably. I would have said, let's go.
No, I definitely would have. I would have definitely called you crazy. Would have definitely called you a Kool-Aid drinker, which, hey, guys, Kool-Aid, that Victory Monday slapped. That was good, man. I had a lot of that Kool-Aid. Spike.
What did you have it with, Tyler?
Everything. Everything.
Let's go, man.
Man, it hit different. So
now you're 21. You had it with something, right?
No, I'll stick to my roots. Still like it with OJ. That actually sounds fucking terrible. OJ with Kool-Aid? No, I do not recommend that. I've never tried that.
So what did you have it with, Tyler?
Just drink it how it was. Just straight out of the pouch.
Straight out of the pouch. Let's go.
Okay. That's what's up.
I can't tell you the last time I've actually legitimately had Kool-Aid till yesterday. Probably since, like, elementary school. Yeah, that shit was kind of ass, not going to lie.
It was blue. It was kind of bad.
I mean, it's not bad. It's just very, very, very sweet and sugary.
I mean, back in the day, if you're not making it yourself, man.
I agree. I like the ones like that one you make yourself. The one
on the pouch.
The pre-pawn ones. Nah, I can't do it, man. It's too sugary.
Yeah, they did. Those don't hit right.
They don't. I agree. I agree absolutely with that. So, we definitely had some Kool-Aid, though, on that Sunday right after the game. It was great, man.
Yeah. But back to golf, man. I think this is good. This is the whole – now we're seeing a team sport. We haven't seen a team sport in Detroit in a very long time. You know, even with the Matthew days, we haven't seen a team sport.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen the Matthew show. It's always been the Matthew show. The Matthew and Calvin show. Or then when McCalvin left, it was just the Matthew show. Now we're seeing team football. We're seeing a team where the defense is able to create stops. We're able to run the ball, control the clock. And if Goff needs to make a third down throw, then Goff can make a third down throw. That's pretty much where he's been doing. Like, you need him on third down, 3rd and 8, to convert a third down. Goff has been able to do that so far. So as far as managing the game, Goff has been doing a good job. So this is the recipe that you need to win. So this is what we need to continue and go forward. And as we get more pieces back, we'll see if we get more explosive plays and then, you know, keep building from there, man.
And also, you're going to be playing some better weather. I think you have to also put some context. The last two games, you know, you play in some cold games. Chicago was windy, and then New York was very windy. So you play in some windy games. It kind of limited to what you really want to do offensively for both teams. Obviously, it's a even playing field for both squads. So it has, but for that comes into play of you being able to do everything you really want to do, because that's an effect. And, you know, something before the season I said that I think was going to be good for this team was this stretch of games, because they're going to be playing a lot of outdoor games in December, and we saw these two games in November versus the Giants and the Bears, was that they have the recipe to win these cold games. And I think that's just really the mold that this offense is really trying to build, not even just this year, but just in general. Like, that's the mold I think Holmes and Campbell really want to build. I think even Campbell at one point in his first year, he said, we want to be like the Pittsburgh Steelers, like in the way that they build their offense, which is very run heavy, lean on their offensive line, and then have the quarterback manage the game. And I think going from that philosophy, going from that mold, the Lions are building that type of offense right now that they could win these cold games, gritty games, as you like to call them, that Dan Campbell would call them. And, you know, that's a good recipe when you're ready to compete for the P word, playoffs. You know, you're going to play in some cold games, and the Lions are showing that they have the philosophy and the recipe that they can win these type of games, which is good.
100%, man. This is what I've been waiting for a long time, man. Like, how long have I been saying, oh, we need to get a running game. We need a running game. We need a running game. And now we have one, so this is good, man.
And it makes it so much easier for your quarterback. Like, whoever it is, if it's Goff, a rookie, a free agent, a trade, whoever is the quarterback for this team in 2023, it makes it so much easier for whoever that is.
You know what makes it easier, too, is that freaking offensive line.
Well, absolutely. That goes into the running game.
I think the O-line, a great O-line, if you have a great O-line, your offense should be like somewhat good, right? And the Lions have a great O-line. And you look at around the league teams with a great O-line, their offense is like good or like average. It's not like trash. So, and I also feel like just this Lions offense hasn't really reached its potential yet, really. Like, when I mean potential, not like scoring 40 points like the first few games or whatever. I mean like, where like the running game is going and the pass game is going with JMO in there. That's what I mean. I feel like they could be better, which is scary.
Because you haven't seen it yet. JMO has not been on the field yet. We haven't seen all these guys on the field yet. So, yeah, of course it could be better.
All right. I think a stat that's very important to bring up, that we're going to talk about this defense. Lions fans know this by now. The Lions are 3-0 since they traded TJ Hockenson, and they have three touchdowns from tight ends. They didn't get one this week from the Giants. I wish I could add to that meme. But Packers game got two, Zylstra, Mitchell. Bears game, we had Brock Wright. Lions 3-0. Is Hockenson a curse? I don't think it's really going to draw that game.
And Hockenson, I mean, the Minnesota Vikings fans were angry at him yesterday. He dropped not one, but two touchdown passes.
Is he a curse?
He dropped two touchdowns?
Oof.
Is he a curse?
I'm not going to say the words, but let's just say they weren't calling him some nice names. You know how his name rhymes with something? Hawk?
We don't. Okay, I think they know where we're going. Okay. You don't have to keep going.
I'm not going to say the rest of it because it's just not inappropriate.
But that's not what it spells. That's not the words he was reading.
No, Malcolm was trying to like shit. Let's use a subject. Skull. Doom.
Skull. That's hilarious, man. I mean, shoot, I didn't even know that. That sucks.
Yeah. So and they got their asses kicked yesterday by Dallas. I believe 40-3 or 40 something to 3 like that
in Minnesota.
And so Vikings fans aren't too pleased. I mean, this first game he played well, but yeah, they are not pleased with him.
I mean,
they call him Irv Hock Jr. You know how Irv Smith always drops the balls and bad? I call him Irv Hock Jr. on
man,
there.
Man, these fans are ripping on him.
Ooh, that's bad, man. The thing is, he didn't have any drop issues in Detroit.
No,
he
didn't.
Not really. No, actually, the first few weeks he did. I remember the first few weeks he did have a few drops.
Yeah.
But
nothing like significant. Nothing, it was like a problem we ever said, like, oh, Hockenson's dropping the ball too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing with Hockenson, man, is that his production was very replaceable. His production. Now,
in this offense.
As far as potential is through the roof. I mean, he could be whoever he wants to be, you know, depending, you know, how he plays. But his production was very
lackluster.
Yeah.
Honestly, we throw out the word potential a lot. I feel like this is what he's entering his fifth year now. I feel like he is what he is. Maybe he might improve a little in some way, but I feel like now as a player, he kind of is what he is.
I don't see him being like, you watched the Kittle game yesterday. Man.
He's not.
Tell like that guy's special, you know. Not Kittle, I'm sorry. Kelsey. You watch Kelsey, you're like, wow, Kelsey's special, man. You see what he does with the balls in his hands?
Even Kittle,
you could. Also, yeah, even Kittle too. Yeah, Kittle's the same way today. Kittle's, you know.
I was just literally watching before we started our pod. He was cooking that Monday night game.
Yeah, and then TJ is the thing. TJ is just so not consistent, man. You may get a game like that from him, where he'll go off for 100 yards, and then he'll go invisible two games after that.
Yeah, and then we talked about it. That's a big reason why I didn't want to give him a contract and re-sign him. And I see why they traded him. And when people are freaking out, I didn't really understand it because I just think he's very, very average.
And the reason why I think our tight ends are having more success is because I think that's pressure now of having to get him the ball. I think that's what is going on right now. That, you know, if there's a play that is required for a tight end, they just find the best guy to do it. Now it's not just, okay, let's just see if TJ Hockenson can do it. Now it's like, all right, let's see if Mitchell can do this one or Brock Wright. You know, this fits you better. Let's do this for you, Brock Wright. So now they're spreading it around. I think it's going to make the team better, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think when Campbell said, they kind of felt like they sort of got better in that. Remember how he sort of said that?
It's kind of
like,
yeah,
we got. It's, I think that's what he kind of meant.
It's kind of like said. The 2016 Lions to a certain degree.
It's kind of like Calvin Johnson situation.
Yeah, you know, people said like, oh, you can't replace this guy. It's Calvin freaking Johnson, one of the best receivers of all time, if arguably not the best receiver of all time. How are you going to have a better offense without him? That just doesn't make sense. But in 2016, you know, they just had more guys instead of having one mouth to feed. Not saying Calvin Johnson needs the ball all the time, but like, you know, I mean, it's just a different. When you have a guy like that, it's a lot more difficult. Where if you have a lot of good guys, you could just be more diverse. You could have certain games for this guy, and no one's going to be. I'm not saying Kellen was a hothead by any means, so, but you guys know what I mean. Like that true wide receiver one, or like that true guy, that true number one player on that team. When you don't have that, you have a mix of like just a good guys, a good solid group of guys. It can almost work better sometimes.
Yeah, I think it wasn't Calvin because he was just worried about winning.
I think
that
was like the offense. You know, that like we have to feed 81.
It was actually the media, man. I think the media pressured the team itself, because I remember there was a stretch where Calvin Johnson didn't get a touchdown. I think it was like maybe four or five games. And they were like, oh, what are y'all doing? How come you guys not getting Calvin the ball? What's going on? How come he's not scoring? And then now you're pressured to, even if he's double coverage, triple coverage, you throw the ball to him, you know, try to get him involved. But, I mean, now you don't have that type of pressure. You spread it around. This is what I think. Like I said, I think it makes the team better. I think that's what's going on with the TJ Hockenson situation.
See, but with the Calvin thing, I feel like though Calvin was one of the best at his position, and the Lions didn't really have like a lot to compliment him with, right? I feel like Hock is he's not the best at his position. He's not even close to being the best at his position.
Absolutely not. Oh no, he's definitely.
I mean, if like for example, if you could add like a sick wide receiver with Jamon Amon-Ra St. Brown, what I mean like sick, I mean like, I don't know, like the, one of the best receivers in the league, let's say, for example, that helps you like crazy. But if you just have like one star receiver and rest of average receivers, yeah, obviously when you replace that one star receivers with like three good receivers, Marvin, Tate, and Kenny Galladay,
yeah,
that's how you get better for sure. Yeah. So
for sure, yeah. And I think that's almost – I'm not – we're not comparing Hockenson to Calvin Johnson.
Absolutely
yeah,
so, not. But not
it's just the thought process of what we're saying. So don't compare the players. Don't take that. Is that what we're doing?
That's
right
why
now?
I wanted to make sure to say that.
No, we're not comparing TJ Hockenson to Calvin
Johnson. Absolutely not.
It's just the room we're talking about more of anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's segue into this defense now, because this is another guy, just like Dan – and Malcolm, you could attest this. You were guilty as well. You were very, very critical on this guy, Aaron Glenn, a.k.a.
I was.
AG.
I was.
And since the bye week, you know, I think you could say they put three good performances. And outside the Dallas game, outside of the Miami game and the first half, the first three quarters of that Chicago game, this defense has been really good since the bye week.
I think you could say also ever since Aubrey Pleasant got fired as well.
3-0 since AP's been fired too, if you want to add that to the Hawks stat.
That's tough, man, because I really like that guy too.
I did too, but I don't think it's a coincidence, man. I really don't, because the secondary is playing better. They're getting more turnovers. They're playing more confident. I mean, you are still seeing, like yesterday, there was a few miscommunications that got me pissed off because guys were running wide open. But they're playing better in the secondary.
Yeah, I mean, they still suck at zone, but they're a young team, so you kind of expect that.
Right.
But, Aaron Glenn has these guys in more positions to make plays. He got these guys in position to make plays. I don't think we've seen Aiden Hutchinson in coverage. Did you see much of Aiden Hutchinson in coverage?
Not really.
Before the RB pleasure?
Not really.
I think this is one
of the adjustments he made at the bye week. I'm not sure. But Aiden Hutchinson, man, his ball skills has been so far so good. It's been really good.
You want to stop?
Yeah, what's up, man?
I got a stat for you about Aiden Hutchinson interceptions. So who are some defensive backs that some Lions fans wanted in the draft process? Give me some names.
Sauce Gardner, Kyle Hamilton.
And who's the other one?
He's a defensive backs. He's a defensive back.
Who am I missing? Jaquan Brisker.
No, okay. I was going more towards Derek Stingley. Like if you wanted
Derek Stingley.
Hold on. All right, there we go. Derek Stingley, Sauce Gardner. Oh, we'll do this. Derek Stingley, Kyle Hamilton. Lions fans loved them. Maybe not Stingley as much, but Kyle Hamilton. They loved him.
Oh, Kyle Hamilton. Yeah, they loved him.
Aiden Hutchinson, your edge rusher, the number two overall pick. He's got more interceptions than both those guys, and he's tied with interceptions with Sauce Gardner.
So you're telling me our third-round pick has more interceptions than those first-round picks as well?
You could also put that in the conversation as well.
I just had to add, like, little cherry
and,
on
and,
top.
And I actually will add another thing. The Bills, I was talking to a Bills podcast on the Blue Wire Network. Shout out to them, those guys. Those are great. But they were telling me they have some young safeties as well. And they saw Kirby Joseph's stats versus the Giants, how he had one target, one interception, and he allowed zero receptions. They said, that's a killer game. We would ask that. We would take that any day of the week out of any of our safeties. And I said, how about this? I tell you, that might not even been his best game of his career. That's wild to me that we're talking about Kirby Joseph. That game, one interception, one target, zero receptions. We're arguably saying that might not be even his best game of his career yet. That is wild.
No, it's not.
That is
wild. He has a bright future, man. He has a bright future. And I'm seeing little flashes of a guy, but I'm not going to say any name. I'm not going to say any names of a safety because.
What team? No, you don't have to say the name. Just say
I know.
Team.
I know who you're thinking of. I Baltimore. Know you. I know exactly
what you're thinking. That's all I'm saying. I see the traits. I see the traits. I'm not going to say the name, but I see the traits. I'm
talking about Baltimore. You're talking about Kyle Hamilton, huh?
Absolutely not. I'm talking about somebody that played for that team who's a legend. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. All I'm saying is it's the ball skills. Yeah, I mean, even if the ball is overthrown, underthrown, he's just around the ball. That's just like that other guy. The way he's able to lay a hit on somebody, that's just like the other guy. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Malcolm, just once you set that, bro, in my head, I'm like, he's talking about that Baltimore guy. So I knew it right away.
Yeah. And the thing with Kirby is, too, that we haven't seen on the Lions defensive back room, probably since Darius Slay, is like, he's a playmaker, man. He causes interceptions. He causes fumbles. He causes turnovers. And we just haven't had that in the longest here since Darius Slay. We haven't been able to replace that type of production of getting turnovers from our defensive backs. And with Kirby Joseph, you know, it started off slow, very rough game in his debut versus Seattle, gives up two touchdowns. Ever since then, man, he's just really turned up since that game versus Seattle. And it's just gotten better and better every single week. And we were a little critical on him last week versus the Bears. Wasn't his best game. Allowed a touchdown versus Cole Kmet. And what does he do? Bounces back. Zero receptions. They only target him one time. And the one time they do target him, he forces a turnover. I mean, what else could you ask for out of him? That is phenomenal. So he's been great. And he's definitely a playmaker, man. Just a ball hawk. Something that the Lions defensive back room needs very badly. And I think they got that with this guy.
Let me ask you a question. Has he been the best safety in this class so far? That's what's going on right now?
I think he is. And I think you could even put him in the top five defensive rookie in the year right now.
Yeah, I would too.
I think there's
– So I think there's in the top five.
I think so. I think Sauce Gardner's in that conversation, and he might win it. I think Woolen from Seattle's in that conversation. Well, he's been phenomenal. But Hutchinson's been great, and Kirby Joseph's been great. I really think we have two guys that – when it's all said and done at the end of the year, we're going to have two guys in the top five defensive rookie of the year.
Shout out to Brad Holmes.
Yeah. Not necessarily they're going to win. I'm not saying one of them's going to win it, but I think we have two guys that are going to be in the top five conversation, that's what you asked for, right?
And when we talk about Kirby, it's crazy. Like we said this about Sewell last year. I'll say this again about Kirby. This is his second year playing as a full-time safety in his life. Last year, he converted from wide receiver to safety. That's why he fell to the third round. I was still shocked. Even Campbell said like they were thinking of taking him with that pick that before they traded second round pick.
Inside the Den episode with when they're showing the draft room for day two, and Kirby's or Dan's like, oh, imagine if Kirby falls here. Brad goes, like, get the fuck out of here. And then they're just like, oh my God, he's actually here.
Yeah, so, you know, bro, and with that Colts, when the Colts trade, I was like, shit, if the Colts take Kirby, I would have been so mad.
What was it, Nick Cross they took from Maryland?
Nick Cross out of Maryland. Yeah. Thank God. So, yeah, man. Bro, he's going to get better. This is like he's just learning the position. He's already making all these plays. Remember how he had those draft picks? And I said, you know, once those picks come, they're going to start coming. Now it's like once that more game action comes, he's still going to have mistakes because he's young and he's still in his position. But once he gets more comfortable in that position and he truly understands how to be a true center fielder, this kid could have like 6-7 picks a year. He could be phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's going to take.
And I was going to say, those are the best defensive backs, man. The defensive backs that played wide receiver, Tavon Diggs. What do you think Tavon Diggs did in college?
He was a receiver, yeah.
He's a receiver. Those guys, they have the best ball skills when the ball's in the air and able to create those turnovers, man. Those are the best defensive backs. So those guys that have had some time at the wide receiver position, now they're playing safety and they can see. They have the same eyes and the vision as the wide receivers, and they're able to play the ball when the ball's in the air because they played the position before. Those are the best QBs, man. I'm telling you.
And, like, they know, like, a little more with the wire trees than, like, just a regular cornerback would because they ran those routes or whatever. So, that's a positive for sure.
Yeah.
And you can catch. Those guys could catch. We always say the reason why he's not a DB because he can't catch. Well, these guys could catch. Trevon Diggs could catch. Kirby looks like he could catch. I mean, the first few weeks he couldn't, but now he could. Yeah. So.
But even like in those first 4 weeks when he wasn't catching interceptions, he was still forcing turnovers. He had the nickname Kirby Hitstick Joseph. He was forcing fumbles at that point.
I was more impressed that he's just there. I like to see, even if they drop a pick, if a guy jumps around,
he's making a play.
That's very, very impressive to me. And I think there's another guy on our roster that has the same type of traits that hasn't seen the field yet.
Who was that?
Chase Lucas.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean,
I seen those traits in the preseason. I seen from him.
Yeah,
like he's able to jump the route. There was a play in the preseason that he jumped around. I was like, wow, it's beautiful. But he dropped.
It was versus Atlanta. Yep, you're right.
Yeah, he dropped the pick. But the way he jumped the route and was there,
yeah.
I was like, okay, I see the ball skills. That's as a former corner. That's what I like to see. I just see guys jumping routes. You know, and those instincts. That's what I was like. All right, that guy's a bright future. And that's the type of stuff I still want to see from number one on our team.
Jeff, yeah, that's fair. You know, I think Jeff has done a great job with pass breakups and, you know, being in the right spot. But, yeah, I agree. That's the next part of his game. I think he could elevate it and really come a really good corner for this team.
He did it last week. He took it to the house. I think a lot of that was Hutch, too, but the fact that he made the play, too, and took it to the house, that was a positive, man.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
And I think I said this on every draft show that we've done since we started the podcast, has been wanting this true center fielder, I like to call them, and like that, and that safety room, and I think we finally got it. I've been always saying, oh, yes. I want that true center fielder, and I think Kirby's him.
When Tracy comes back, is he still, he's still in the contract, right?
We just resigned him last year, or this offseason. He's on a 3-year deal.
So our safety room is going to be him and Tracy.
Yeah, and Tracy even tweeted on Sunday, can't wait to get back playing with my dogs.
That's going to be one hell of a safety rule, man.
And you know Tracy's the communicator out there, too. Like, that's a guy they all lean on. They all trust him as well. I think that's going to help their zone defense out, because that's the one kryptonite this Lions defense has, is they're not great in zone. I think once they get a guy like Tracy back, that helps it out a little more. And then offseason, that they could, you know, get more experience, I feel like they'll be a better zone team next year.
Well, the thing is with zone, you have to get pressure. If you don't get pressure, there's open zones right away. You know,
well, that's something that's helped to help improve the offense.
I mean, the pressure is a lot better than last year, but it's still not where you want to be yet. I feel like they're maybe the middle of the pack or a little below average.
Well, the Rams are helping us a lot of helping us address that position with getting a very good player. So thank the Rams.
Yeah, pressure in disguising it too, man. Because a lot of the quarterbacks, they know off the back what you're running. Like, he's going to be in cover three. They're like, oh, he's running cover three. Let me just tear him up.
So I just realized as we're doing this, I'm looking at our notes right now of how we're supposed to structure this. We're talking about all former third-round picks and of how their production is. I didn't even realize that until right now. These are all third-round picks. So let's talk about the other third-round pick that Brad Holmes drafted in 2021, Aleem McNeil.
Boom, 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 boom.
Man. Yo. Pierre, what was the numbers this year? What was the stat line?
All right. Aleem McNeil had a sack, 10 pressures, 3 tackles, and 4 stops. Bro, those are – we talked about it before. Those are Aaron Donald-type numbers. I mean, that's just crazy. He was a monster yesterday.
Shoot, if he has this type of production for the rest of the year, man, look out. That's what I'm going to say, man. Look out.
Man, he was great in the run department too. Like, he did a great job with Saquon Barkley, and that's not going to show up in the stat sheet. Yeah. This is just like getting to the quarterback. And that's not his game. You know, he's a nose tackle. He's known for really just stopping the run. And
he was a big part of that.
And today and Sunday, you saw that and him getting to the quarterback when they had to pass the ball. I mean, that was a coming out party for Aleem McNeil. That is the best game we've seen out of him in his career. And
that wave phenomenal. That he did was hilarious to me. The wave that he was doing. After he had a sack or made a big play, he was doing a wave like, hello. Yeah. Like, bye-bye.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
I loved it.
That was a coming out party, man. And, you know, you saw the stats with Pierre just lusted and what he did in the passing game. But he was phenomenal in that running game, man. They did such a good job with Saquon Barkley. And, man, that was so impressive. Like we said, if you told me what Saquon did and you told me that was going to be the results, I wouldn't believe you. No one would believe you. No one would believe
and you. And another guy that's not really getting a lot of recognition, we've kind of joked about him in previous times, but, bro, I thought Isaiah Bugs yesterday was phenomenal too. I mean, it's hard. They had trouble running it up the middle yesterday.
Yeah.
They had trouble running it, like, everywhere, but it just – the middle was clogged up fast. Aleem and Bugs are hard to run on. I think those are – Tyler – the two big fuckers are back.
Hopefully. I mean, they're
two big fuckers.
I don't want to overreact over one game, but it was a great stepping stone and a great game for sure.
I think they were like the main factors of the stopping of Barkley, but everybody being, you know, playing their gaps. I think that was a big key as well, because they really about gobble hit him up. Like, they got it. Like, they pretty much had him surrounded where he couldn't go nowhere, where he was being tackled by four or five guys. So they did a good job containing Barkley, man. And if Aaron Glenn is able to do this, like, week in and week out, and have like that same type of Bill Belichick mindset of, you know, I'm gonna be able to eliminate your best weapon. Shoot,
we gotta see more of it. You gotta see more of it.
Yeah,
for sure.
What's gonna convince me is how they play Diggs this
Thursday. Yeah,
it's Thursday. I want to see how they play Diggs. If they're able to contain him and take him out the game, that's a huge plus.
Stephon Diggs, he's hard to I don't know, it's gonna be hard. We'll see what they do. I think what you do with him,
I mean, we'll talk about that in the preview.
I don't want to talk about this today.
We don't have to get Stephon Diggs or no.
I have an idea of what they'll do.
We'll save that for next episode. Here we'll get into next what we episode. Think. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the other third round pick. And probably people are wondering, who the fuck are you going to talk about? We're not talking about Ifeatimo Lafonu. He was a third round pick. We're not talking about him. He didn't. I only gave this on the field on Sunday. We're talking about William. And I'm going to give a shout out to Lions guy, because he's calling him William Harris. He goes, we're going to be calling him his government name until he has a bad game. Bad Harris is Will Harris. Good Harris is William Harris. So he's going by William Harris until he has a bad game. He's going by his government name for now.
I'm calling him Will the Trill Harris.
Hopefully he likes that.
He better like it. No, it's working. William Harris is here to stay.
William Harris, man.
He was good, man. And he's not a guy that you're watching, probably like sticking out to you, but like, they're not targeting his way that much. Since he's gotten more opportunity, more playing time, they're not really targeting him as much. And he is playing really well since getting more of an opportunity. Since the bye week, they said they're going to get him more involved. They want to get him more on these game plans defensively. And shoot, man, he's been really good. He's been really good, which is really surprising, because this is a guy that has been an afterthought from essentially every Lions fan. Every Lions fan wanted him out. And I think the position switch has really benefited him. You know, switching from safety to corner. He's been really good, man, because that was a big issue that we had, was that nickel corner. And we were shuffling guys. We had Mike Hughes to start the year. Wasn't great. Then we had A.J. Parker. Wasn't great. We go to Will Harris, and he stepped up, man. He's really stepped up, and he's been good.
Yeah, and like the thing too, when he was a safety, he couldn't tackle. Now he could tackle. He's one of the best tacklers on the team right now. Like, he's not bouncing off. Do you know when he was a safety, he'd over pursue or he'd run too fast at a guy, and the guy, he like would break a tackle. He's tackling guys. Great open field tackler. He has the speed. You could tell he's also still learning that corner position. You know, I feel like that's another guy you have to re-sign, honestly.
I mean, he's not like, going to cost the bank.
He won't cost bank, but I feel like it's a guy you have to bring back.
That's fair.
And I think they will. He also contributes on special teams. He does everything for you. And again, once he gets more comfortable in that corner position, I feel like he'll get better as well. Because this is his second year playing corner. and, for a year and a half now, right?
Yeah, because he got switched halfway through the year last year. Yeah, and that goes into coaching. And that's why I've been talking about so much throughout the year. And that's why I was so mightily disappointed with Aaron Glenn and why they weren't getting the production out of these guys. Because I know this defense is not as bad as it was. I'm not telling you it's a top unit by any means. I'm telling you it's not a very good unit as far as the talent. But I knew they were better than what they were showing before the bye week. And since the bye week, we've seen better production out of guys that weren't producing that first half. And William Harris is part of that conversation as well. He is getting better week in and week out, getting more adjusted to the position. And that is what coaching could do. I talked about the Giants last week on our pod, what Wink is really doing with those guys. He's getting the best out of those guys and having these second thoughts be guys that we're thinking about resigning now. We're going to get contracts somewhere else. And William Harris is putting himself in that conversation right now.
I'll tell you something, though. Those guys, those second thought guys, whatever, they did not look good yesterday.
Well, they were getting hurt because the Lions are biting kneecaps, and I think they injured every defensive back that the Giants had yesterday.
I'm just saying, I don't know who was out there, whoever it was, though.
I think the other guy got hurt. I don't even know.
He got hurt mid-game.
I don't even know who they had anymore in that game.
Yeah, I don't know either, but
I think Adore got hurt on the punt.
Another thing is, too, with the run defense is Hutch. He's not making the same mistakes he was making in weeks 1 through 4, whatever it was. He's playing more disciplined. It looks like he's getting more comfortable. Looks like the game has slowed down a little for him. So that's another positive as well.
No, we're sticking on the third round topic. You know, just the first round pick. We could do that another day. Talk about
we're talking about third round picks today.
This episode is dedicated to third round picks.
Now, how about Tyler? How about a fourth round pick, Derek Barnes? How about
okay,
that?
I like it. We're talking late day two, day three picks. No day one picks. I don't want that. I want to see what these day two and day three guys are doing.
At the end, Derek Barnes, I think he, I don't know, maybe he got hurt yesterday. I forgot.
He came back. He's fine.
I don't know if he necessarily had his best game yesterday, but again, this is a guy who's also improving and he's playing better. And man, we talk about developing the players. We didn't really see that the first few weeks. Now you're seeing all your young guys contribute, and that's what you want.
That's what
remember
I
remember how we talked about who are some guys that would start on other teams? We named like three guys, maybe.
Yeah.
Now these guys are actually playing like fucking starters,
and
not playing like they should be on the bench.
What I was trying to tell you for so many weeks, and you try to blame the talent, and that's why I told you the coaching matters a lot. Yeah. It's the same guys.
We didn't add nobody. It's the same guys. They're just all playing better since Aaron Glenn really put his foot down to say, "Look, I'm gonna take more control of this shit, and we're gonna be right. We're gonna get right." I'm not sure what Aaron. That's why I wish we had like that mid-season
Hard Knocks.
Yeah, to see what the hell was going on because what caused this? Like I know Aaron Glenn. I mean, I know Army Pleasant was a defensive back coach, but he had this much of an impact on the defense of them playing that bad.
He was also the passing game coordinator, so he was like in charge of like a lot of the coverages and all that. And the passing game coordinator. I mean, you saw there. Blown coverages everywhere, guys running wide open. The guys were not following the game plan. I mean, that's what Campbell was said at least. So
Got you. That makes more sense because I just realized that he is the passing game coordinator. So, yeah, that's probably what actually got him fired versus him just saying DB coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That makes more sense. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. But whatever they're doing now is working. They just need to keep doing it, keep trending. Yeah, let's go, man.
Great game overall. Greatest win in the Dan Campbell tenured. And I'm just satisfied, man. That's what I want to see so badly. Just prove to me those two games versus the Bears and Packers weren't flukes. And they did that this week. That's all I wanted.
Is this like probably like one of the better games that you've seen in a long time?
As a Lions fan in general?
Lions fan in general.
Yeah, probably. Which
the run defense.
Sad, which is very sad.
I mean, bro, the run defense was the best game, I've seen. I think this run defense was the best I've seen in my life, honestly. Like, holding Saquon Barkley, I don't know when's the last time Lions held the top back to, like, 1.5 yards per carry. Even with Sue and Snacks and all that, I think this is the best. Like,
Malcolm, you know what that game gave me a lot of vibes over, actually? When we played the Giants on Monday Night Football, actually.
Monday Night Football? Giants on Monday Night Football?
Both times.
2014?
I was going to
2014?
2014 and 2017. Because we did that in New York as well. We would just hand it to them. We were the better team overall, and we handed it to them. So
yeah,
we have a good rate versus the Giants since being a Lions fan. I can only think of one loss to the Giants since me being like a real diehard Lions fan, and that was 2016 in MetLife.
Yeah, probably when they had like Odell and all those boys. That's when Stafford was hurt.
That's when Stafford blew his finger, yeah, and they went on that 3-game losing streak to end the year. And the Giants were part of that.
Yeah, I got you.
But even Patricia beat this team before.
Yeah,
whatever.
All right, let's do Baller of the Week, oopsie doopsie, and let's head out of here. Go ahead.
Wait, before we end, start the Baller and the Oopsie, I just got to say one thing.
Go ahead.
This whole Dan Campbell, Dayball thing, it ends today. That's it. That's it. I don't want to hear no comparison. I don't want to hear why is he doing this and we're doing that. We outcoached his ass on Sunday. All right, so that's it. It's over. Doom, doom.
Yeah, for now, Dan Campbell's put a lot of this comparisons to bed because he's doing what we're expecting now, and it just came later than we expected, I think, and that's why the criticism came out. But yeah. All right, let's do it.
And then Sunday we're gonna do it against your boy Salah.
Ooh.
Not this Sunday, but I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, that's another situation right now. Zachary's losing that locker room. y'all boys, Zachary's losing that locker room.
We'll
talk about that later on the year. All right. Yeah. Baller, oopsie, fear. Who's your baller of the week?
All right. Like, I'm going to do like one baller and I'm going to give an honorable mention as well. Okay. So. Baller of the week is obviously Alim McNeil. We talked about it in the show. One sack, 10 pressures, 3 tackles, 4 stops. The guy was unblockable. They even benched some of their players just to see what they could do and still didn't make a difference. He was unblockable. And then the honorable mention goes to Lions O-line. They opened up running lanes and Goff wasn't touched yesterday. He was pressured 4 times. He wasn't touched.
Who was that guard yesterday? Shane LeMahieu, whatever his name was?
I think it's Shane Lemieux or something
like
that.
LeMahieu, whatever. The guy from Oregon, yeah. It was so bad at one point. I mean, the guy hasn't played football in forever. But yeah, he got benched. Lynn McNeil caused the guy to get benched yesterday.
Yeah.
So I don't know if their center got hurt or benched, but he also left the game. They put in a different center in. So
man, what's
they said? One of you guys are gonna block this guy.
Man, when's the last time we've had that? I've been on the other side where we've had to bench guys mid game because someone's messing up our game plan. But when's the last time you could really say that the Lions caused someone to get benched?
It's the Sue days? I don't know.
Man, like it's been forever. About it.
I don't know. That's hard to think about.
Yeah, I can't.
But man,
even think of one.
I'm actually shocked you didn't give one of the baller of the weeks is Jamal Williams, man.
I mean, there's so many guys to go around. Kirby Joseph, Aiden Hutchinson. I mean,
well, like, basically the O-line, like, it goes to, like, the running game in general and the pass pro. So, like,
I get you. They deserve it. I mean, they played their ass off.
Yeah, I feel like if you don't have that O-line makes those guys look better. Jamal and all those guys, Justin Jackson and Swift.
They have done that since this – that's one thing I'll give Bob Quinn and Patricia credit for. Don't want to go too deep into that, but they really built the foundation of the offensive line. I'd say since Campbell really took over and Hank Fraley, they've really been able to get the running game going with any running backs they've had. We saw it last year where they had multiple injuries with Jamal missing a couple of games. They still got the run game going with Reynolds and Ikubuke and Jamar Jefferson. And you're seeing it this year. They're getting it going with Jamal Williams. You saw obviously with Swift those first 2 weeks. And you saw it even with Justin Jackson, who we give credit to as well.
Craig Reynolds before he went down. He was doing pretty solid as well. Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's a big credit to the whole line.
Yeah, man, Hank and Dan, man. Remember how we're like, Malcolm was like that one year. If we don't ever get our whole line right, we'll never get it right. And then Dan and Hank come in and they change the running schemes. They change everything and it's working.
Yeah, especially this year, man. They're actually pulling their guards. They didn't really do that last year. They're pulling them like every run play now.
This year it's fun. You're seeing like, bro, they had one play yesterday where they used like Sewell as a receiver to block on a screen pass.
Bullshit block in the back, but yeah.
I mean that call is what it is, but I was like, damn, man, like, all right.
Yeah, they're getting creative.
You know what we're gonna see out of that play one time? We're gonna see a fake screen and it's gonna be like a bomb to someone because if you just assume Sewell's wide out, it's probably a screen, right? You're gonna see some different plays bounce off that play.
I thought you were gonna say we're gonna see a Sewell reception for a touchdown one time.
I mean, you could see that, but he's like,
I think he played tight end in high school at one point, so he may have some hands. He might have some hands.
Yeah, I mean, think about this, Tyler. You fake screen to Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then you have J-Mo running straight down the sidelines, throw a bomb to him.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, I'm like putting on my Ben Johnson hat on for a second here. I'll take it off, though. I'm done with it.
All right.
Well, Tyler, who's your oopsie?
Oopsie doopsie of the week.
Play a sad song for you on the world's smallest violin.
Someone in here, in this call.
Wait, what did Malcolm do?
Yeah, what the hell
it
did I do?
It can't be me. I did
screw up the locks of the week.
Oh, I could add that. Ooh, okay, you get.
Come on, man. Wait.
I did not screw up the locks of the week.
Hold up. Both of y'all hit.
Are we not going to talk about this? Lions on a 3-game winning streak and Piers on a 2-game winning streak on locks of the week? What is this world? What is this world that we're in right now?
Let's go, and man. I'm 7-3 picking the Lions against the spread.
7-3 picking the spread. What is going on this year, or what's going on this month? I should say, or the last 2 weeks.
I don't know, man. I've been good.
I like what's going on. Pierre's calling games right, and the Lions are winning. If Pierre calling wins is helping the Lions win, I'll take it.
Let's go.
All right. Back to the oopsie doopsie.
Yeah, it's all me. They're winning because of me.
Yeah,
yo.
Okay. You know
I'll take all the credit. All right, Thank you, Tyler.
I'm floating because I'm fluffing them right now. All right. Oopsie doopsie of the week. It's in this call. It's not Malcolm. It's not Peter. Yes. It's myself. Oof. I've picked against the Lions 3 consecutive weeks. They've won 3 consecutive weeks. And you know damn well, you know what I'm doing this Thursday?
Picking against the Lions.
Picking against the Lions because not that I don't believe that they'll win. We'll see. We'll talk about it in the preview. But it's worked. Since I've picked against the Lions, they've won 3 in a row. Peter calling 2 locks a week. I mean, I'm a guy that believes in karma. I'm a guy that believes in good juju. We're going to stick with the good juju. I'm going to take the Bills 9.5.
Okay. There it is.
So I'm your oopsie doopsie of the week.
I mean, that spread could drop. Maybe it has. I don't know. It's actually 9.
I know a lot of people are betting on the Lions.
We'll talk about Thursday.
So if they drop to 9,
We'll talk about Thursday when we have the official lines on our Twitter spaces and we'll do our predictions then.
Even the Giants one was at 4 and then it dropped to 3 because people were betting on the Lions.
Yeah.
So we're at 9 now. 9.5 to 9. I think that could drop more.
I think I'm about to jump on that bet right now before it drops.
The minus 9?
Yep. And I might buy some points to make it like extra juicier. So I don't
plus 9.
Yeah, it's plus 9. Yeah. So I might add some points to make it be like plus 11 or something.
I mean like Buffalo minus 9 is what I meant. Yeah. So yeah.
Okay. Well, hope you guys all enjoyed this show of us talking about a Victory Monday. And man, this feels good. Because there's no excuses with this one. There's no caveat. The Packers helped you win the game. Like, this is just a nice W. Nice victory for the Lions. We'll be back Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow with our Bills pregame show. Then we'll be live Thursday, Twitter spaces for Lions Bills pregame. And we'll be right after the game talking about the Lions Bills game. So hope you guys all enjoyed. I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. Like Tyler said, we'll see you guys again on the next show. And I'm out. Peace.
All right, y'all. It's your boy Malcolm, and I am out. Peace.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.